coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
In Crisis and with Christ, a mental health journey with Svenja Dollar.
What we'll be addressing today is something that is critical in mental health recovery, but it is something that every person could benefit from. It is the progress that we all strive for, as elusive as it is sometimes. It is our devotion to God. And more importantly, it is how to handle these two when your feelings are telling you that both are non-existent. The diary entry for today comes from the 27th of February in 2018. Last night, I just wanted to give up. I was praying for God to take me home, end everything that I was suffering through. I didn't want to do any of this anymore. I had tears streaming down my face, and I looked at the pack of the tissues in my hand. Why even bother taking another one out to blow my nose or wipe my tears away? Nothing mattered anymore. Doing anything felt so futile. But I looked at that pack in my hand, and I knew that if I took out another tissue and put in the energy to unfold it and blow my nose and wipe my tears away, that I would be committing to continue to try and help myself and rely on God. I did take that tissue out, even though today I still feel as helpless and hopeless as ever, as stranded in this everlasting struggle as ever, as abandoned by God as ever. There is a tiny little sliver of my heart and soul that are hanging on. I can't feel it. I can't even think about the energy of that tiny sliver that it takes to hang on. But somehow I can faintly know that something is not ready for me to give up just yet. Before I write out each new radio segment, I look back to my previous segments. This time I noticed that my recovery is the thing I talk about most, if not all the time. Now, this isn't because I am lopsided and partial to recovery stories. It is because as soon as you take that first step to get help, you've entered your recovery stage. Now, you may stall at times, maybe get in a rut, make some loop-de-loops, but overall, you have ignited the spark inside of you that will take a lot to smother. It will always come back, even if only a tiny bit. In February, I found that spark in a time that I thought it was all gone, that progress was thrown out the window, and I was a lost cause. God kept it kindled when I couldn't. That little sliver was something that I knew, though I did not feel. At that moment, all I could feel was despair, sadness, pain, isolation. Every horrible feeling you can imagine, all wrapped up into a gross glob that sat inside my chest. At that moment, and the days following, I did not feel that God was with me, or loved me, or even existed. I did not feel that I was able to make progress, that I ever improved, or will ever improve again. But thanks to God, I had wonderful lessons in my head that told me that even if I feel alone, I am never. Hopefully, this is a little lesson to lean on for those whose feelings seem to be the only truth in the world right now. It is a lesson that is difficult to teach, especially to those who are struggling. You can't just start a conversation on the basis that your feelings are wrong or go against everything your heart is telling you. That will probably be unpleasant for all involved. And it would also be untrue. Emotions themselves are not wrong. Because what you feel is what you feel. You say, I feel so alone. You are not wrong, because you do feel alone, whether you are or not. However, what you believe those emotions are telling you can be where the error comes in. I mean, if you feel like the worst friend in the world, and I feel like the worst friend in the world, we both can't be the worst. The worst implies one who's worse than everyone else. So at least one of us is in the wrong. And before you even think that it's definitely you who is the worst, know that it's not just a battle between you and me. It's a battle between you, me, and at least 500 other people. And to tally up our shortcomings and shouted arguments to see who truly is the worst, someone has to judge hundreds of entries, divvy up awards of varying degree of terribleness. And there is something in the Bible that talks against that in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I think again in Luke 6, verses 32 to 35. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And it is very easy to think that the measure you place to others is the same you put to yourself, and while they are all passing with flying colors, you don't. But something important to remember is that you can be your own enemy. You are talking down to yourself, peddling yourself untruths. So to treat your enemies kindly, to love those who do not love you, you must enact those commands on yourself, because you are the one who doesn't love you, and you are the one spewing hate at yourself. But most importantly, we need to realize that ourselves are no different from other Christians. When the Lord says he is the final judge of all, and not to judge prematurely, that is, before the second coming, he means yourself as well. So not only must you love yourself as you do others, the little-known yet much-needed inverse of love others as yourselves, but you must also not judge yourself. The Lord even gave us scripture pertaining to these issues. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. And what about this verse? Romans chapter 14, verses 4 and 7 through 9. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. The verses from 1 Corinthians and Romans tells us that we have no right to judge ourselves, just as we have no right to judge others. We are still servants of Christ, and therefore we have no right to judge ourselves. The only judgment that is just and sure and true is that of the Lord's, so we must not judge ourselves. Depression and other mental health problems can twist your emotions in ways that can be cruel and misleading, and it takes a very strong mind to be able to hold on to truths that are contrary to your gut, such as remembering that we must not judge ourselves unjustly. If you can't do that alone, welcome to the club. I need so much help to counter my feelings when I get in a rut in my recovery. I rely on my husband, my friends, my family, and pretty much anyone who steps in to help when I'm in a state of delusion or disability due to my mental illness. Last week, we talked about relying on others, and this is just as true today, tomorrow, and next week, or month, or year, as it ever was or will be. However, there's a small burden that I can ask you to bear. Mentally ill or not, in your time of ability, in your times of great emotions and easy life, please, please review some of the lessons that Christ gives. Review with your study buddy, or friend, or husband, or wife, or child, or parent, or even with your dog, the great promises that God gives us all. That we are heirs of the kingdom and children of the Most High. Jesus commends those that can believe, though they don't see the hard proof with their own eyes. And you can see this as he talks to doubting Thomas in John 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." When our feelings are telling us that we are alone, when we do not see God in our lives, then that is the time that we most need to rely on the truths that we know and have learned in our times of ability. In our times of disability, we need to cherish our times of ability and lean on those experiences. To close, I have a quote from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. "Faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods."
In Crisis and with Christ with Svenja Dollar will be back next week. Please write your comments, suggestions, or requests to info@lutheranradio.co.uk or visit Svenja's blog at svenjadollar.wixsite.com/she's lost her marbles. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.
Lutheran Radio UK.